this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Great show, great episode lined up for you right now. John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. He's the real deal. He's been around the block more than once. He understands where we're at. He's able to analyze, not just select, but analyze what's taking place. I've got a lot of respect for him. I follow his writings, and I would urge everyone to do so as well. Before we get to John, I just want to mention that TexasReady.net, if you haven't gone there, you know, spring, it appears to be encroaching upon us. TexasReady.net, best seed banks on the planet, bar none. Best seed banks on the planet. And look, if you're going to prep, you better have seed banks. And if you're talking about seed banks, you should be talking about TexasReady.net. They've got each Texas Ready seed bank contains 80 plus varieties of vegetables and fruits, including 8 dual purpose herbs. That means culinary and medicinal purposes. The larger banks that they've got come with training manuals that teach you how to garden properly. The owner of Texas Ready, who we met, Lucinda Bailey, well, she's called the seed lady for good reason. She really knows what she's talking about. She understands the chemistry behind the food, behind food production and high yield gardening. You benefit by her knowledge. Folks, visit TexasReady.net. Don't put it off. If you're getting an income tax check in, buy a whole bunch of seed kits. Seriously. Prepare. TexasReady.net. Necessary for preparation. TexasReady.net. Joe.
Joining us now from NoMoreFakeNews.com is John Rappaport. He has worked as a freelance investigative reporter for over 30 years. He is the author of 3 books, The Matrix Revealed, Exit from the Matrix, and Power Outside of the Matrix. He writes on a number of issues from politics to health, culture, and art, and much more, and he's written for a number of publications. We don't have to go through all of them right now. Mr. Rappaport, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Great to be here.
Well, John, yeah, I'm going to kick in here. I got to ask you, it seems like what's strangling the news is this Russian narrative of the influencing of the elections. Man, what are your thoughts on this? Is this ever going to stop, or, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the plan and the program is to keep trying to delegitimize Trump. To say he isn't really the president. It didn't really happen. The election was a fraud. It was a fake. It was influenced by Russia on purpose, on behalf of Trump. And many, many websites and bloggers, somehow untold thousands of them, have been operating at the behest of Russia, consciously or unconsciously. It's a bizarre scenario, and to me, it indicates the desperation level of major media and the political insiders in Washington. They are willing and able and ready to do anything they possibly can. Somebody from the Trump administration during the transition period from the election to the inauguration talked with a Russian. Suddenly, this is big news. This is a crime. This is what have you. It's ridiculous. I mean, these things happen all the time. People from both sides talk to each other. So the implication is that somehow Putin has taken over the United States power centers. He's in charge. And so if I open my trap and I start talking about this or I write about it, then maybe I am somehow under the influence as well. Maybe we all are. It used to be that if you tried to break a story like this, you would be laughed out of court in 5 minutes. And the people who wrote the story and published the story would get fired. I mean, I know how mainstream news used to work. It's always been fake news as far as I'm concerned, but at least there were certain parameters that you could sort of rely on. Now all bets are off. Now you could say that Trump claimed he was talking to an extraterrestrial, if you want to, and you could get that story in the New York Times. All you would have to do is find somebody within government or somebody associated with Trump who could say, yes, we had a conversation one day, and he told somebody in the room that he had talked to an alien from outer space, and it would be in the Washington Post. So the craziness does not end, and I don't think it's going to end. It's just going to keep on going, because they can't recognize him as the president. That is something, once they do that, then they admit how crazy they were in supporting Hillary Clinton and how wrong they predicted the election and so on and so forth. So that's the way I see that.
And there's a number of issues here with Russia. It started off with the Russia hacking. Russia hacked the elections to influence it for Trump. Then it went to the collusion. There was collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. Then we saw, you know, that Russia, the FBI is now investigating alternative media, with ties to Russia because of the fake news narrative that they promoted. And now, the media has spun it and really brainwashed the majority of the public who pay attention to the mainstream media into believing that even, legitimate business ties to other Russian businessmen before the time of Trump's election is somehow nefarious and out of the ordinary, and they keep confusing the issue. But what's worse is their continuation of this story without one shred of evidence, without any proof. You know, Flynn, he had his own indiscretions that somewhat dealt with a conversation he had with a Russian ambassador or a Russian businessman that, which was since leaked illegally, and he lied to the vice president. And he was also, you know, lobbying for a Turkish government, and that's, you know, his own issues that had nothing to do with Trump. He actually lied to the Trump administration about it. But aside from that, there's no other legitimate news story that puts any type of influence, collusion, or otherwise between the Trump, his staff, and Russia. But they continue to trot this out in the mainstream, as you said, without any facts. And they do it night after night. And what really gets me is, since this wiretapping stuff has come up, even with some information pointing to the fact that the Trump administration and his transition team could have been surveilled, they demand, you know, instant proof. And even with those evidence, they still say that it's an absolute bogus story. But, you know, with the other side of their mouth, they turn around and talk about the Russian narrative. Do you believe they're working towards a goal other than, obviously the goal is to impeach Trump, to tarnish his reputation and the legitimacy of a president, but do you believe that, and we've been talking about this a little bit, that they could manufacture some evidence, that they have some other end game here when it pertains to Trump and Russia?
Well, they certainly could manufacture evidence, but in a sense they already have. So they could just simply create something out of thin air. They could also, you know, if you want to dig far enough into conversations, once you frame the game and you say, these are the rules, if a politician talks out of school to a Russian, that's a criminal act. Well, it isn't.
Right.
It might be under certain very specific circumstances, but otherwise it's not. But once you frame the game that way, then you can dig up all kinds of evidence. I'm sure that somebody could find somewhere that Trump talked to somebody in Russia. So that could suddenly become a news item. Meanwhile, in 2015, the New York Times, of all newspapers, made a very good circumstantial case for the fact that the Clintons were instrumental in selling 20% of U.S. uranium production to Putin and the Russians. This was not just some off-the-wall idea. This had to do with Canadian businessmen who owned U.S. uranium production companies.
Frank Huster.
That's right, Frank Huster. Wanted to sell this company to the Russians. In order for that to happen, because it was national security, since it was uranium, various federal agencies had to okay the deal, including the State Department, where Hillary Clinton was, in fact, the Secretary of State. The State Department did sign off on the deal. Contributions from Giustra and other people who were involved in the deal came into the Clinton Foundation. Large million-dollar contributions. Hillary Clinton, when she was appointed Secretary of State, pledged to Obama that the foundation would be completely transparent and reveal all contributions. They did not reveal those contributions from the Canadians. Bill Clinton, at around this time, was paid about $500,000 to go to Russia and give it a lecture. On and on it goes. A very strong circumstantial case. Who's talking about that in terms of dealings with Russia? I mean, now we're talking about something real, serious.
Exactly.
20% of U.S. uranium production.
Yeah, and not only that, there's been a number of stories that have come out about John Podesta having direct ties, illegal ties, to a Russian bank, lobbying for three separate Russian banks to get sanctions lifted under the Obama administration, where his company raked in millions of dollars. He personally raked in hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now there's a new scandal pertaining to John Podesta with Russia, where he did not disclose 75,000 shares of a company he owned that was from a Russian government organization, I believe, which is, it is the law that he needed to disclose that while becoming part of Hillary Clinton's campaign. And with the Hillary Clinton uranium, with the John Podesta lobbying for Russian banks and his private interest with a stock in a Russian company, there's so much more, you know, if you want to call it collusion, between the Clinton campaign and Russia than there ever was with Trump. But my big thing is, and the media never covers that, obviously, my big thing is, you know, they can't pin down, they meaning the Democrats, the globalists, whoever continues to push this Russian narrative. First, it was election hacking. Somehow they hacked the election, which we know the only attempted hacking of the election was done by the Department of Homeland Security in Georgia, in Tennessee, and there was another state that they were actually caught. Secondly, they rolled out the narrative that, you know, Russia created and had, you know, United States journalists push fake news, and that was somehow Russia, you know, spawned. But what they're talking about with fake news were scandals and negative stories about Hillary Clinton stemming from John Podesta's emails, which the media goes on to say that, you know, Russia is to blame for Hillary Clinton's loss because of the controversy that came out about her emails, when they never address the content of those emails as the reason, you know, for the backlash. It wasn't
It's cherry picking, basically.
Yep.
Major media can decide in any case, okay, now we want to concentrate on who we claim did the leaking or the hacking. Now, in this case over here, we want to focus on the content of the leak. And that case over there, again, we just want to know who the leaker was. Whatever narrative suits defaming whoever they want to defame. So this is completely irrational. And many people are realizing this. I mean, the American people are not ignorant, completely ignorant. When you shove something in their face that's obviously false and wrong-headed and has a covert motive that's obvious to everybody, people start to wake up. They say, well, look at what's happening here. Consequently, major media are digging themselves deeper into a bigger hole than they did during the campaign and right after the election. Their hole keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and more people are now moving over into independent media to get their news because they've seen through the scam. And this is going to continue to happen. It's like the boy who cried wolf or many other myths and fables where the person tries to keep compounding a lie because he's afraid of being discovered for the initial lie. So he keeps on compounding and compounding, gets more and more desperate, more and more crazy and bizarre, and consequently brings the whole house down on his head. And I think overall this is what's happening with major media now.
Interesting. It's a sad state of affairs. And if we could segue to the Trump wiretap claims, I don't know how much time we want to spend on this, but you know, we see a lot of news coming up. One being Devin Nunes, the House Intelligence Committee is being asked to step down to recuse himself from the Russian probe due to the revelation that he made last week about the wiretapping. What do you suspect will be the outcome of this wiretapping claim? Do you think?
If I can interject, John, who did it? Who do you think did it? Who's responsible for this? And then what do you think, you know, if you want to?
Well, you've got a lot of usual suspects here. NSA, routine surveillance. The routine surveillance of foreign leaders, officials that happen to pick up calls with Americans. CIA, we now see, has a much wider surveillance series of programs than we thought, or that some people thought. I mean, it's wide open. Surveillance, you talk to people like Bill Binney, who was an NSA contractor for, I believe it was 30 years, a major analyst and architect at NSA, and he's basically trying to tell people, look, understand, they're surveilling everybody. There's nobody who is immune here. So anytime the NSA wants to focus in on somebody like Trump, it's child's play. They can do it. And one of, I believe it was Binney's revelations, is that Obama, in the waning days of his administration, signed an order that allowed other intelligence agencies to go into NSA records and files of surveillance and access those files without court orders, warrants, anything of the kind. FBI, CIA could go in there and take out whatever they wanted and, of course, use it for whatever means they wanted to. So, I mean, now the door is completely wide open. So suppose, for example, the FBI decides, well, we want to leak something here. We want to bring it out in the open. Whether that's James Comey's decision, head of the FBI, or some other level of FBI agent. It seems to me that whoever has been, quote, wiretapping Trump and the Trump team is some government entity. That is, people have a mistaken idea that once you become president, suddenly all the agencies just turn their head to you and bow their knee and say, you are the king, and what do you want us to do? No. These agencies are essentially rogue. They just keep on spinning in the direction that they're already going unless somebody stops them. So you have many people who are inside these agencies who are loyal to the Clintons, to Obama, to Bush, to all sorts of people. And they will continue to do what they believe to be in the best interest of themselves and the people that they're attached to. So that's where I think the leaks are coming from. And then they, you know, they could be passed through to reporters, to CIA assets who work for major media outlets, and then suddenly there's a story in the Washington Post or the New York Times or wherever.
No, absolutely, absolutely right, John. We just, we got about 6 minutes until the break, and I wanted to, if we could, segue into an article that is on your website, nomorefakenews.com. You wrote this a piece yesterday. You're censored because someone might get the wrong idea. And I really like the way that that you put this together. You, in the article, begin talking about an example, how people could get the wrong idea and maybe be offended by something you say. And you talk about being on a radio show, you were being interviewed, and somebody brought up the fact that the U.S. medical system kills 225,000 people a year in the U.S. And you say the interviewer asked whether mentioning this could dangerously convince people not to go to a doctor. And maybe we shouldn't talk about this because it could give people the wrong idea, was the statement. And you said that you're glad that that was brought up. Let's talk about this. When the truth becomes dangerous.
The truth becomes dangerous, sure. It was a very interesting interview because this person had and has wide experience in major media. So he said to me at one point, he said, well, I'm giving you the other side. I said, there is no other side. I don't think he expected me to say, or something to that effect. I said, you're incorrect. This isn't a game where you balance one side against the other. He said, but that's what the news does. I said, no. Maybe the news does that, but that's not their correct mission statement. What they're supposed to do is find out the truth and present it, period. He, I think, was kind of playing a game with me. He understood that. But he was persistent, nevertheless, in bringing up the other side at every possible moment where I said something controversial. So this feeds into the idea that people should be censored or censor themselves from saying something that other people could interpret and get the wrong idea. Now, when this idea, this sense of things becomes pervasive throughout culture and society and so forth, and it does because of the surveillance state and other reasons, then people censor themselves. Then people begin to have this, what I would call a fake social conscience, which is, well, I better not say that because somebody might take it the wrong way. Well, after 30 years of being a reporter, I can tell you that there are people who will always take anything you say the wrong way. I've had numerous communications over the years from people who talk about articles of mine that they've read, and then they tell me what they have concluded, and my response is, you must have been reading somebody else. It wasn't me, because how could you come to this conclusion about what I was saying? You're living on a different planet. I didn't say anything like that. I think you took this statement and you rolled it up, and then it suddenly turned out to be no one should ever see a doctor under any circumstances. Well, if that's your idea, I'm afraid that I have to say that's your problem. It's a problem with your mind and your mental capacity, because I'm not going to stop telling the truth. But that's a place that we have come to in our society. And I think that statements, for example, that Trump made during the campaign were interpreted through that lens. Yeah. Globalism. Let's end globalism. Ooh, that's a dangerous thing to say. People could get the wrong idea about that. You heard a chorus of outrage from major media about statements like that. He's dangerous. He's just talking off the cuff here. He's shooting from the hip. And people could get the wrong idea because the entire world is a globalist structure, and we must not disturb it because then we would have chaos. Doesn't he realize that? And so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I like what you, is written in the article. As soon as somebody says something that offends another person, doesn't sit with them right, then their problem of being offended becomes your problem. That's how our society is operating today, and it's just mind-boggling to me. I mean, I wish I had the luxury when I was a kid and a teenager to, you know, to get a safe space every time somebody said something I disagreed with. I mean, I would have had my own, you know, addition to the house with my dad,
John,
if I got everything.
John, I showed him where his safe space was, believe me.
And you go on in the article and you make the 100% accurate assessment. This is psychological warfare. And it's even worse than that because it's an emotional warfare too. Some people, you know, feel bad if they offend somebody. They feel, especially, you know, we'll say the gender identity thing. If somebody is called, they say, hey, sir, you can't do that. and this, the person gets offended because you use the word sir instead of, you know, zen, zai, whatever they want to be called. And then they make a big deal about it, and then all of a sudden you're the bigot, you're the racist, you're the one who doesn't understand. And it is, it's a psychological and emotional warfare. And
people
we
learn
don't
how
need
to play the game.
Yeah, we should not play the game. We should not worry about offending people. And we see hate speech laws coming in Europe. They have them in Europe. They're coming in Canada, where if you offend somebody, you can be charged with a crime. You can be fined. You can even be put in jail if you're a repeat offender.
Absolutely.
I pray it never comes to this country. We have the First Amendment, and I hope it stands. But it is a problem that is ongoing, and it seems as though, what's the most troubling about this, and we're coming up against the break here in a minute, John, but what's most troubling about this is that not only are, you know, these little groups who band together, coming out and promoting the, you know, being offended and triggered and, you know, how it's basically hate speech, but they have the establishment backing them, all these corporations backing them, the mainstream media backing them. Not only that, they're playing into it and adopting, you know, these special groups, special snowflake rights, and it's alienating the rest of the country, leaving no room for dialogue or debate, because any opposition to their beliefs becomes intolerant hate speech. And they're silencing us, you know, all across the board. Because, not because of offensive content, but because content that is in opposition to what they believe. Folks, we're talking with John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. We'll be right back after this. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said,
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changewithwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Let me tell you something. John Rappaport is our guest. This guy is got his finger on the pulse of the news, and he's able to analyze what's important, separate fact from fiction, and focus on what's important to you, to me, to all of us. If you go to his website, to nomorefakenews.com, you would, and I would be remiss not to promote The Matrix Revealed. You're talking about a wonderful collection, folks, of information. 250 megabytes of information, over 1,100 pages of text. It's a PDF document, 10.5 hours of audio. And the bonuses alone are worth the money. He's got a complete 18-lesson course, Logic and Analysis, which includes the written teacher's manual and an audio to guide you. This is fantastic. And that was previously $375 alone. That's worth the price of admission plus two, okay? And then, of course, AIDS Inc., that exposed the conspiracy of scientific fraud deep within the medical research establishment. Those are just two of the bonuses. In addition to everything else I mentioned, visit nomorefakenews.com. And for one, The Matrix Revealed, it's just a wonderful investment for your knowledge. Before we get back to John, folks, traveling, when you're traveling, I believe in this so much. We have, our family uses nothing but satellite phones from satellitephonestore.com. Satellitephonestore.com. No, that's not bent. See that? It's actually a directional antenna. And these phones are fantastic. They work just like cell phones, just like a regular phone. And they're about, I mean, they cost about as much. So in terms of the plans, they're not that expensive anymore. If you're listening to my voice, I want you to contact Eric Tallman, satellitephonestore.com. That's satellitephonestore.com. Give him a call. Ask for their Iridium 9555 model. That's this model right here. Let me tell you, it really works. Iridium 9555. And so when all heck breaks loose, the phones go down, you actually have a way to communicate with your wife, your family. Here it is right here. Again, satellitephonestore.com, satellitephonestore.com. And during the break, we were at, John and I and Joe were talking, and one thing that was on his Twitter feed, if you don't follow John Rappaport on Twitter, definitely do that. And I saw this, and I'm glad, because I wanted to ask him about this. Zika virus, or Zika vaccine, watch out, it will alter your DNA, and it takes you back, the link takes you back to the, his blog. John, what in the world? Zika vaccine altering your DNA?
Yes, indeedy. I'll give you the short summary first. I've been covering deep medical fraud for 25 years, 30 years now. So I tend to recognize it when it pops up. You might remember couple of years ago in Brazil, there was an announcement of a sudden outbreak of a birth defect called microcephaly, babies being born with smaller heads and brain damage. Horrific thing. But upon looking into what the Brazilian researchers were coming up with, they were immediately claiming that they had the cause of all of this, and it was something called the Zika virus, which had never been known to cause any harm in human beings at all. So how do they say, on what basis do they say they know that this virus is causing this birth defect? Well, this is the kind of thing I've researched for a long time. The first thing they have to do is establish a really powerful correlation where we see cases of this birth defect in babies, we inevitably see the presence of this virus in those babies in large amounts. Well, they did nothing of the kind. In fact, their correlation between the virus and the birth defect was so scanty and so thin that it really constituted counter evidence against Zika virus as a cause. It's the kind of thing that in an honorable, honest research lab would send the researchers back to the drawing boards and they would say, well, we don't have it. We got to look further to find out what's really happening here because this is not panning out. The Zika has nothing to do with this, but they didn't. They just kept on pushing it, and the CDC and the World Health Organization and everybody jumped on board, and women were afraid to get pregnant, and where can we travel where we don't catch the Zika virus, and the story goes on and on and on. So I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's the vaccine going to look like? Well, it turns out that this is the next generation of vaccines. They are called DNA vaccines. In fact, the New York Times, 2015, wrote an article on this, extensive article, which is quoted in my article about Zika. This vaccine, the researchers claim, consists of synthesized genes that they believe will create immunity for you to specific diseases and conditions. They will load these genes into viruses and inject them into your body. And the genes will do their work and somehow produce immunity to whatever the disease happens to be. But, and this is spoken right out in the open, but the genes that they inject into your body will become part of your DNA permanently. Not just a visit. Now your DNA is added to. It's different. And I see no reason not to assume that when we're talking about future generations, adults pass down their DNA to children and so on and so forth. Well, if your DNA is altered, that's what you're passing down. And the Zika virus vaccine is going to be that kind of vaccine. There are studies underway as we speak. It is one of several different candidates that are being considered now. It is the next generation of vaccines. So what we're talking about here, folks, is nothing less than a grand experiment with the world population as the guinea pigs to see what happens when you permanently put synthetic genes into people's DNA. Whether you're talking about Africa, the United States, Asia, doesn't matter where, if indeed this is the next generation of vaccines, this is what's going to happen. Results? They have no idea. In fact, in the Times article, they queried a Nobel Prize winner named Dr. David Baltimore, and they said to him, well, so what do you think about this new generation of vaccines? And he said, well, yes, very, yeah, mm-hmm. He said, although I could see that some people might be leery about having their DNA altered. Really? Really, do you think so?
Yeah.
So that's where this is all heading. For a virus that has never been proved to cause any condition, develop a vaccine against it which will alter your DNA.
And people will invariably ask, to what end? Altering the DNA? Gee, is that so bad? I mean, you know, to what end?
Yeah.
And I'll pass that question to you. To what end do we know?
Well, you need to understand that the DNA of humans is there to assist in life, in survival, in what you do from the time you're born to the time that they lower your body into the ground. So if you want to tinker with that, oh, let's add this to it. Well, since we did that, let's add that. Because for every one of these vaccines, not just, you know, every one of these vaccines is going to be injecting synthetic genes. So we're now talking about many alterations to your DNA. And on top of that, let's just take this out a further step and say, this provides an ideal experimental ground for creating a different society. Scientists in some colloquium group, whatever, say, look, we have a chance to try to create more obedient, compliant, passive human beings here if we can find the genes to do it, because we can insert these in vaccines. And who's going to look into it? We'll claim that we're preventing a very threatening disease, and we just put these genes in and we track these people and see what happens. Do they in fact become more obedient, compliant, passive? If so, we have found the Holy Grail, because now we can create populations where people just look to the leaders and say, what do you want us to do? We're going to follow orders, period. On the other hand, we can take certain people and try to insert genes into their body that will make them more strong, have a higher pain threshold, have greater endurance, perhaps raise their IQ, and we would naturally think of them as future leaders. We'll create a two-tier, three-tier, four-tier society. These things are not science fiction in the sense that geneticists, and I quote one in the article, they are seriously talking about this as the future. This is the engineered society. So what's behind it? Well, that's behind it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling.
Mildly disturbing.
Yeah, just a little bit. And I'm just going over some of the different things you have posted on your website here. The healthcare bill, we saw that was withdrawn. Let's talk about the politics inside Washington, inside the Capitol and the White House. What do you suspect is going on here? We saw that the healthcare bill was pulled for lack of support. Then that decision was politicized by both the left and the right. We know that the climate is very hostile, anti-Trump inside Washington. You have, you know, the extreme leftist Democrats like Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and Schumer calling for impeachment. You have the wiretapping claims. You have the whole news media against Trump. How much of this is on Trump, do you think, to get some of this legislation through that he wants to? One being the healthcare bill, taxes, we'll say. And how much of this is on Congress?
Well, I think a lot of it is on Congress. That's a major center of resistance here. And, of course, the media is pushing the narrative in the direction that they want to push it. For example, during Obama's administration, the House, Congress basically voted against Obamacare on some level, or voted for a change in it 60 times. 60, 6-0. But of course none of that worked because Obama could veto, and he did. Now we have an attempt to pass one version of health care that just failed once. And the media are portraying this like, well, that's it. That's the end of the world. Trump is finished. Total humiliation. He's going down. What are they talking about? This happens all the time in presidential administrations. A bill is introduced, it fails. And now we're seeing stories about how they're going to reintroduce a different kind of a bill. In fact, some Republican congressman just introduced a one-sentence bill that said Obamacare is repealed. Why not? You know, so this is just all cooked up, ginned up, made to be boiling over the top as if this represents a humiliating, horrendous defeat for the president, and it reveals that he has no support within Washington on anything, and so on and so forth. What's happening here is people in Congress are gathering up their forces, those who want to resist Trump in every way possible on every issue. It doesn't matter what it is. Healthcare, taxes, bringing back jobs to America, immigration legislation, you name it. their entire agenda is, if Trump says yes, we say no. We don't care what it is. We don't care what it is. You know, if meteors were falling from the sky and Trump wanted to try to do something about it, if it was Trump, Congress would be against it. It doesn't make any difference. So, again, the program goes on. He's not really the president. It's all a fake. It's a fraud. Russia hacked the election. He should be impeached. He should resign. He'll never finish 4 years. You've got people out there even calling for killing him.
Mental insanity.
Insanity. He's unbalanced. He's incompetent, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever will stick against the wall. And the idea, of course, is, and this is traditional propaganda, I think we discussed this earlier a little bit, you throw as much stuff against the wall as you can of every kind because it's a numbers game. If we throw 5,000 things at the wall and 12 of them stick, well, that's pretty good. Those 12 could really make a dent in Trump. So let's just keep throwing stuff against the wall. Doesn't matter what it is.
And you might be onto something there. They might literally be throwing things against the wall and just picking what sticks.
Sure.
I want to ask you this. So in this climate, it seemed like Obama, as the president, had a lot more authority and power than Trump does. Is that because of all the factors working against him, including the media and members of his own party? Or is there some truth to that, that Obama did have more power and authority?
Well, both things are true. Because Obama had the media on his side and because he had, his party was firmly in back of him, which is not the case with Trump, and other, factors. I mean, Obama was an agent of globalism in the White House, let's face it. He was and is an agent. His primary job, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, was to see through the Trans-Pacific Partnership to completion and make sure that that treaty was passed, which would have put globalist corporations in even greater power positions than they are now on several counts, very significant counts. For example, tribunals where if your nation is exporting some horrendous product to my nation through corporations and I don't want to accept that, suddenly you lodge a complaint and we go into a corporate tribunal which is not of your country or my country, and these corporate titans and their lawyers decide whether or not I have the right to reject this toxic, horrendous pesticide or drug or whatever. And if they decide against me, which they most assuredly will, then I either pay billion-dollar fines or I accept the product. I'm up against the wall. This kind of thing. Well, Obama completely failed to pass the TPP. That did not put him in a good light with his handlers because he was there to advance the cause of globalism, and he had massive backing in order to do that. Well, in certain ways, he was successful, but when it came to that, he was an utter failure. And I believe that certain important people let him know that. And that is one of the reasons that he is sticking around and not simply fading into the twilight, because they said to him, your job is not finished, buddy. We put you there to do important things, and the most important thing you didn't do. Now we've got this wild, crazy cowboy in the White House who wants to defeat globalism on every front, stop corporations from taking jobs out of America and going overseas, making them come back, making them pay tariffs, shredding these globalist trade treaties like NAFTA and so forth. We don't like this at all. So you're going to stick around and become the community organizer you always were, and you're going to have troops at your disposal, about 30,000 people at least, and you're going to do whatever you can to sidetrack and derail and destroy Trump. So he is a major player in this game to bring down Trump as well. the major media gave Obama a free ride time after time after time after time. When they criticized him, it was always in context. Well, he's a president. He is a prestigious president. He's the first black president. And yes, this thing, this policy doesn't make sense. Okay, that's the way they wrote him up. With Trump, he talked to somebody on the phone, and now he must be insane and impeachable. You know, I mean, that's night and day we're talking about there.
John, who, along with Obama, who would you identify as the enemies within the Beltway, or within the administration?
CIA, NSA, major players. The CIA, since the beginning, has always assumed that it was the President of the United States, starting with Allen Dulles when he became the head of the CIA. You know, he had carte blanche, he had a big budget, he had secrecy, he could go anywhere in the world and do whatever he wanted on behalf of whatever his agenda is, and I believe that that has been sustained and maintained through many directors since then. CIA does not like somebody going off the reservation. They have their agenda, which has turned into a globalist agenda behind the scenes, and the NSA likewise. I would say they are major, major players. Okay. In addition to that, I would say that cabinet posts, people have to understand, agencies like the FDA, the CDC, NIH, the National Institutes of Health, I'm getting on the medical side of things, but you can go into other areas like the Environmental Protection Agency and so on and so forth. These gigantic bureaucracies keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They stay there no matter who the president is. They are the unelected. They have agendas. They have regulations that they form that are supposed to be coinciding with established law, but they're often not. They just simply write up gigantic lists of rules and regulations that everybody has to follow. They say they're consonant with existing law. They're not. But they are making law, these agencies. And a lot of the law that they are making centers more and more power in the government. Not the limited government we heard about at the formation of the Republic. Nothing remotely resembling it. Jefferson and Adams and Madison, if you brought them back and you took them to Washington and explained what's happening, you know, they would lose it totally. What did you do? Under what auspices did anyone think you could create this monstrosity of power centralized when everything that we did was to stop that from happening? So these power centers, these agencies that I've just mentioned, for example, they tend to be much toward the political left, much toward socialism, in fact, which is government ownership or control of the nation, business, means of production. They tend to be very much in the globalist camp, which is we want basically one nation, which is planet Earth, no borders, no sovereign nations, no independence for anybody. Talk about a swamp. I mean, this swamp does not end. So, as I wrote recently, if Trump, assume for the moment that Trump is who he says he is, whether you like him or you hate him, that he wants to return to nationalism rather than globalism. It would take a string of presidents like that to clean out the swamp. Backed up, and this is the most important thing, by we the people. Because without that enormous backing, everything would fall on deaf ears. This is not a job draining the swamp that can happen in 4 years or 8 years. I'm sorry, this has been many more than 100 years in the making, on purpose. And these people do not dislodge easily.
And you know what, Joe, he does a great job in pointing this out through his writings, his materials. Again, visit No More Fake News, follow him on Twitter. His products and his research products are just fantastic. Go ahead, Joe. I didn't.
No, as well as his YouTube channel. Folks, if you go to nomorefakenews.com, right on the left-hand side, you'll see the Twitter icon, the YouTube icon, and make sure you book on John's site. He's got great investigative content that's fresh just about every day, and he has his own personal spin on it, which makes it really fun to read.
I gotta tell you,
I just got done reading why I decided to work for Putin and the Russians. Thank you for that. I mean, with all the craziness that's going on in the world, and you know,
got a sense of humor,
absolutely. And that one made me smile the whole time I was reading for it, and it makes sense, you know. Why not? Everybody, all 200,000 websites, you know, right. They needed money. They had to help out Trump, and you know, that was their agenda. I mean, the buffoonery.
What are you going to do?
The buffoonery in the media is just mind-boggling. John, we only got about a minute left before the break. Any upcoming appearances you want to promote? Anything you're working on that we should keep our eye on out for?
No appearances particularly, but as you say, I do write every day, so there are new articles up on at No More Fake News every day. People can sign up for the email list, and it's been great talking with you guys. I really enjoyed it.
It's been great having you, and I know that we've been posting some of your stuff on our website. I'll make sure that I put that fresh content up daily from nomorefakenews.com. And, yeah, it has been a fantastic interview.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right,
John Rappaport from NoMoreFakeNews.com. Great guy. Wow. And intelligent.
We'll be right back with Stan Deo. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way, Everett. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.